Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
And if you will, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I want to talk about Jesus this morning. I realize we're in church, but it's okay. It's politically correct. Not a problem. Don't worry about that. And I also want to talk about healing because I've been thinking about that a lot lately. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to all those who have been praying for my wife. She fell and hurt her back, but she is home at this point in time, and undoubtedly, given the medication schedule, she's asleep right now, which is a good thing, But in talking about Jesus, I want to talk about him and the healing of this particular man, by the Pool of Bethesda. The Pool of Bethesda was just inside the Sheep Gate, one of the gates into Jerusalem. It was called the Sheep Gate because sheep would come in that gate to go to the temple for sacrifice. Well, on their way in the gate, they would stop at the pool where they would be ritually washed, and so the sheep then would be cleaned to go on to the sacrifice at the temple. Well, there was a rumor, a tradition, if you will, at that point in time, that by the Pool of Bethesda, an angel would come periodically and would stir the waters. And when the waters were stirred, the first one who had an illness or a difficulty or a disease of some sort, the first one into the water at that point in time would be healed. Well, as you can imagine, this became a very popular place for people who were ill to be. And this particular man had been lying there in that place for 38 years. 38 years is a long time. Quite literally, during the time of Jesus, a lifetime. And he'd been lying there, lame, unable to get into the pool when the waters were stirred. As to whether this truly was an angel coming down to stir the waters or some sort of bubbling up from beneath the springs, we don't know. But the point is, the man was there to be healed. Well, along comes Jesus. Jesus didn't know this man. He didn't pick this man out of the crowd necessarily because he was a good man. He was a man who deserved healing. He came to that portico looking for the lame, the blind, the halt, those people who had needs, and Jesus was always found near those people who had needs. Jesus' healings never worked the same way twice. At one point in time, he put mud on a person's eyes and the man was healed of blindness. Other times, someone simply touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And there are various ways in which Jesus healed. But he came up to this particular man who was lying there by the pool, And he asked him a question. On the surface of it, it seems like an odd question to ask. I can't imagine the answer being anything but, yes, I want to be healed. But Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? Had it been me, I would have raised my hand at that point in time and I would have said, yes, I want to be healed. Absolutely, I want to be healed. I've been wanting to be healed for 38 years. Now I really want to be healed. But you notice the man's answer wasn't that. He didn't raise his hand and say, yes, I want to be healed. Instead, he sort of dissembled. What he said was, you know, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool when the angel stirs the water. When the water comes up and I can be healed, there's no one to put me in there, so I can't get in there first. Jesus looked at the man, and he recognized him. Now, this man did not know who Jesus was. He was not a servant. He was not a disciple. He was not in a relationship with Jesus at that point in time. But Jesus looked at him and knew him. And he said to him, take up your mat and walk. An odd sort of thing to say to a guy who is lame and has been that way for 38 years, don't you think? Kind of difficult for a lame man to stand up and pick up his mat and walk. But the man did just that. Now, the interesting thing about this, the Greek word for would you like to be made well also can be translated would you like to be made whole or would you like to heal, but it refers to your relationships. It doesn't refer necessarily to physical healing. It refers to the healing of a relationship. And so what Jesus was asking the man was, would you like to be healed in your relationship? Would you like to have a relationship with me, is what he was saying. When he recognized the man as being out of relationship, he wanted the healing of that relationship to be the thing that happened first. And so in the healing of the relationship, in a sense, the miracle of his healing of his legs was sort of an afterthought. Because the first thing that happens is now you're in relationship with Christ. Now you're in obedience to Christ. When Jesus said to him, pick up, stand up, take up your mat and walk, he was basically saying, would you like to be obedient to me? And the man did just that and was obedient and was, by the way, healed at the same time. Now, what does this healing say about us? What sorts of pools of Bethesda do we lay by day after day? What sorts of pools of Bethesda are there out here? When my wife and I first came here, it was after 26 years in the Air Force. And it's very difficult to go from military life for that length of time to civilian life. And I'm sure some of you have had that experience and know that it's not the easiest thing. The military is very organized, very regimented. The military tells you where to go, what to do, and they will try and tell you how to do it, but sometimes you get to and sometimes you don't. The military was part of our life for 26 years, and I have preached in places all over the world, from Afghanistan to Somalia to Iraq to other sorts of places that one might be tempted to call God forsaken, except that God doesn't forsake any place, and so I can't really call them God forsaken places. But there were places you'd not choose to go back to if you didn't have to. Well, now all of a sudden, here we are in beautiful Colorado, in lovely Colorado Springs, and it's really different. It's really different. And so what did we look for? We looked for our pool of Bethesda. And where was our pool of Bethesda? You. Here. This is our pool of Bethesda. This is where we come to meet Jesus. This is where we come to be healed. This is where we come to be adjusted now to a new kind of life, a very different kind of life. But it's in places like this that Jesus comes. And all we have to do is be obedient. That's all our requirement, just to be obedient. And so we came to Colorado Springs. We found our pool of Bethesda. We found our healing in this pool. And you were a part of that healing. And how that healing worked was relationships. I want to thank every one of you who has been praying for my wife, because she's doing very well, and we're convinced that prayer has a big part in that. Hospitals are wonderful places, but they're not pools of Bethesda. They're not places you go necessarily to meet Christ, though he comes there to meet you on a fairly regular basis. But here we are in this pool of Bethesda, and we're learning what it is to be civilians again, which is a different thing, and we're learning what it is to be in relationship to you people. And we want to thank you for the relationships that you have offered, for the love and the friendship and all the goodness that's come from this place. But now we have to go elsewhere. My wife's health is such that she needs to be in a place that's not quite so high up and not quite so dry. And so we're going to go to a place that has been called the land of bugs, humidity, and hurricanes. So we're going to Florida. He forgot to say beaches as well. This was a man after the first service. He forgot to tell us there were beaches there too, but there are good beaches, so that's not a bad thing at all. But what will we do when we get there? People have asked, and I really can't say what we're going to do when we get there. All I know is that Christ goes before us. Christ will be there, and we will be there in obedience to Christ. What that means as far as our day-to-day living and working and all that, I don't know. But I suspect we'll find some other pool of Bethesda to go to that will offer somewhat the same thing that you have offered in your love and your friendship. Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda to find people who were hurting, to find people who were ill and difficult and in difficulties and griefs. Were I to ask, raise your hand if you have anything that you're needing healing for, I suspect probably a good bit of this room would raise their hands, myself included. Jesus comes to you. He comes to you by your pool of Bethesda. He comes to you for healing. He offers, in that healing, he offers relationship, because relationship is where that healing is found. You may have to go through hospitals, you may have to go through difficulties and griefs of one sort or another, but Jesus, in relationship, is with you through all those, and that is indeed the miracle. The healing, oh, that's the easy part. The church is a fellowship of those who are limped or limping and are carried into a place and come out leaping and laughing. The church is where Jesus is. The man deserved healing no more than any other person. We deserve healing no more than any other person. But it's not because of us that God chooses to heal. It's because of who God is. And all we need to do is place ourselves in a position of relationship with Christ in order for that healing to occur. Do we want to be healed? Life is difficult for some people. When you hang around hospitals a long time, you get to see that. Life is very hard. And yet Jesus goes through those hard times with us because we are in relationship with him. Life can be difficult, but life can be blessed as well. And in Jesus is the blessing. It's not magic what Jesus does when he heals. It's miraculous, certainly. It's miraculous that God would choose to come down and to relate to us, to make us into relatives of his. That's miraculous. That's the miraculous part of the healing. We open the door. Jesus walks through. This radical relationship begins, and our healing takes place. It takes courage to follow Jesus. It's not simple. It is not simple, and yet it's life itself, and it's the only life. Your relationship is the key, and will you be made whole is the question. Will you be made whole in your relationship with him? God reaches out when we can't take it on our own. And you notice what this lame man did. He went above and beyond himself. He went way beyond what he ever could think of himself as being able to do. He went and he picked up his mat and he walked away from that place whole in his relationship with Jesus. Where will we encounter Jesus? Everywhere. There's pools of Bethesda everywhere. And what do we call that encounter? We call that the kingdom of God. Are we in the kingdom of God at this point in time? Well, we have a king, and we have people, and so we're in the kingdom of God at this point. I think that God will be with this church in a mighty and powerful way in the future. I think this church has wonderful relationships, both within it and out into the community. And I see this church going forward into the community to give witness to the healing that Christ is. I see this pool of Bethesda as being one that's going to be well occupied and well tenanted with those people who are in need. I thank you. I bless you. and give you all that that I have to give in the way of blessing. And I appreciate all that you've done for us. I also noticed that the world's biggest preacher's clock is on the wall. And so I thank you and God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, it is with joy that we come before you every day. It's with joy that we follow you. It's with joy, Lord, that we find our wholeness and our relationships in you. It's with joy, Lord God, that you give all that you have, even to your Son. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we bless your name. We pray that you'd be with us in this time and that you'd be with us in the future, that you'd send us out to those people who are in need, that you'd give us a chance to witness your love and your grace, that you'd give us all those gifts that the Holy Spirit has to offer. Bless us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.